A young woman comes to London in the month after the armistice. She is inexperienced, poor, ambitious, burdened. This is what happens to her. The town was crowded, not a room to be had in any of the cheap hotels. For all she knows, none in any of the dear ones. President Wilson had arrived that day, drawing people from all parts of the country to look at him, the bright star of their hopes. She slept the first night in a hostel for young women near Victoria. The manageress, a bony creature, refined with no bowels, was surprised to see her come with a large black leather trunk, her mother's. It was of the kind known as a dress basket, with a domed top and straps.
"You won't need that taken up to your room," she said in a gritty voice. "You can only keep the room for 2 nights, as I informed you in my letter. Leave it in the passage."
The girl agreed anxiously. She was tired, but at first could not sleep for thinking of her baby. This child, who was 3 years old and very beautiful, she had left in Yorkshire with a lady trained in the care of young children. The more she considered in her mind the perfections of this lady, the less comforted she was and scarcely able to bear being parted from him. What would he think and feel when, falling asleep in a strange room, he awoke to find it stranger by daylight, and the door opening and looking round for his mother, Miss Holland, came in. The next day, Sunday, she tried a score of apartment houses without finding room. Towards dusk, very tired, she came on the blue YWCA hut in Trafalgar Square, and went timidly in, prepared for charity gone cold. There was no such thing, but there was a chair, a good cup of tea, and they told her where to go to find a room. The day after she and her dress basket shared a bedroom in a temperance hotel in Bloomsbury, the room very narrow, cold, dingy, and the bed a penance, she took possession of it in the evening of Monday, after her first day spent trying to write advertising copy. This day had convinced her that she was a failure, and now the room drove other thoughts home. Too cold and uneasy to sleep, she lay and thought about her baby. When it was wet, the coarse stuff of the pillowcase scraped and burned her cheeks. She was young, and each morning ran out gladly. She could not stay quietly of an evening in that dreary place, but sauntered about London, pleased with trifles. London to her was a brightly coloured web, from which now she drew the sound of violins in a cafe, now a voice crying victory, now a boy and his sweetheart laughing as they passed, now furtive encounters of which her mind retained a gesture or a glance. In a time and a city of easy meetings, no one spoke to her. She was always alone, all her friends dead, or in France or Mesopotamia. In the first months after the war, London was gone to pieces and noisy, not gay. She was too young to feel this, and wherever there was music and bright warmth, and they were cheap, there she was, living in her eyes. Her bedroom in the hotel was so uncomfortable that she never unpacked the dress basket, and after 3 weeks of it she moved to a room in St. John's Wood. It was at the top of her house, really a large attic, and when she had stowed her things, it looked as though no one was living in it. On the third evening, she was going upstairs behind a middle-aged woman. This woman turned and smiled at her and said in a fine, jovial voice, "You doing anything? Come and eat a bite of supper." The girl followed reluctantly into the first floor room. It was all white whiskery rugs and low chairs, the very pattern of Edwardian demi-monde ease. She sat stiffly in one of these chairs and watched the woman put beer and sandwiches on a tray in front of the gas fire. She knew she would not be able to drink the beer and said, "Could I just have sandwiches?"
"As you please," the woman said.
She was a big, well-built woman, surprisingly quick. The girl could not help looking at her face, which was coarse and pleasant, with deep merry lines. There was a superb impudence in the way she threw her voice about, slapping it down on things. With the tray between them, she began to question the girl.
"What's your name?"
"Hervey Russell." She could not overcome a dislike of giving her name to strangers.
"What's that? Is it your own?"
"My very own, as it happens," Hervey said quickly and shyly. "I'm married, but I don't use my married name very much."